That's who he is in him. Dwells the totality of divine powers of God contained in a body. In the 10th verse, and contained in him, you all, say me, you have been filled. Remember the infilling? You can be filled, it can be either way. You can be full or you can be the one being filled. It says, in him you have been filled. Filled with what? That divine powers, the ability. God lives in you, Christ in me, the hope of the reflection, the proper reflection. What's being shined into me? The knowledge of God that exceeds physical reality and human knowledge. God. 10th verse, and in him you have been filled, who is the head of all principality. That means whatever was there from the very beginning, whatever is first, and authority. Look over to Ephesians 3:19, and we'll see exactly the same thing, only with a little more fullness, a little more instruction to us. If you start really 17, 18, and 19, that's where Paul says that he is interceding over them, asking that they, just like all Christians, should be their faith. Remember what I said about intellect, faith, everything for a few minutes. The faith should be rooted and grounded in experiencing purposeful goodwill, that you may come to know the length and breadth and depth and height, right? Okay? Of the, quote, agape, the purposeful goodwill of God. He used the word gnosko, which is come to know by experience, that you may come to know experientially, that you may experience the agape, the purposeful good will of Christ. And then we get into hyperbolo, exceeding, no, surpassing, no, transcending, okay, what's that? Exceeding physical reality or human knowledge. That would be pleroma. That would be the totality of divine powers, that you may come to experience his purposeful goodwill, transcending, not limited by physical reality or human knowledge, so that into you all may be filled all of his pleroma, all of his divine powers, all of what it means to be God, all of the totality of the divine power of God, using the King James, all of the Godhead in a body. Paul is actually saying, I mean, talk about mysticism. Paul is actually saying in both of these places, and here even more specific, that you can experience this to the point that you are filled up with the divine powers of God. Well, if the Spirit of God is God, and he has come to live in you, which I know all of you believe, then these words are true. Well, how come it doesn't look like it? Well, first of all, we have to know it. Secondly, we have to believe it. We believe in salvation, but people don't just get saved without hearing about Jesus. They don't know what salvation is until they hear about Jesus, right? They don't know how to walk in until they hear about Jesus. Well, the church doesn't understand any of the stuff we're talking about. Now, that's too harsh, okay? So much of the church understands nothing of what we're talking about because nobody talks about it. And Paul said, how are they going to believe except somebody sends them a preacher? They're not going to know. And let me tell you something, if the preacher doesn't know, then he's going to be limited on what he can preach, which is why you got to always push it. No matter who we are or who we think we are, just like Peter there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he looked up and saw Moses and Elijah and God and and freaking out, and the light was shining, and all he could get out was, "Oh my, it's sure good for us to be here. Let's build a tabernacle. We'll build one for you." And God said, "Shut up, listen to him." Right? Because we always, when we come upon these tremendous revelations, when we come upon these great truths, we have a tendency to want to just stop there. Because after all, it's so good, right? But you don't. Because there's always more to know. There's always more to grow. There's always more out there that God wants to share. So you spend a little time there, just like Peter, they were up there on the mountain. They walked, they had fun, but then they came back down and went to work again, right? Casting out devils, yes. That concept, you can enjoy it. You can let it build your faith, which is what should be happening to you right now this morning. You should be thinking thoughts that you haven't thought before. You should be seeing things in your mind, seeing the kingdom in your mind in a way that you haven't before, because you're hearing words that you haven't heard before. That's what's supposed to happen. And then after a while, you continue to walk in it. You continue to think about it day after day after day. And after a few weeks or maybe a few months or whatever, you assimilate it down into you. And it becomes a part of who you are. Those words are spirit and life. And they affect you. They change you. They become a part of who you are. And that's pretty much what John said. The first chapter of John, the 16th verse, which again was written much later than Galatians and Ephesians, probably at least 20 years. And he used the same kind of thing, because out from his pleroma, out from his divine powers, out from the totality of divine powers that were in him, we all have lambano, laid hold to. 1 second, okay? When we see this word lambano, we talk about it being forceful. I saw some, I think it's the 41st verse of the 10th chapter of Matthew. We see dekalmai and lambano put right there together. So you see the difference between the receives. And what Jesus was saying is, whoever receives a prophet in the name of the prophet receives a prophet reward. So again, we're looking at our translations, we see receive and receive. No, those are two different words.